What's up, everybody? Welcome to Anxiety Now. Officially the best podcast on the planet. It's what it is. These are the facts, people. These are the facts. I'm not just throwing out grandiose statements like that. I'm saying what the world has told me. It's that this is the greatest podcast that has ever been made. And you're lucky to be a part of it. You're very lucky to be a part of what is officially the greatest podcast ever. I mean, WTF with Mark Maron, bullshit compared to this. Joe Rogan Experience, bullshit compared to this. All those NPR podcasts, This American Life. I mean, what a waste of time, you know, when you could be listening to this. A show that is poorly planned for an hour and I barely limp through it. I mean, does it get better than that? Does it? No, I actually do plan it, even though it may not sound like it. I do plan it. I have more respect for you, my listener, than for me to simply sit here and start talking without a plan. This is the exact way a person without a plan would talk, right? Taking something off real quick. It's getting real hot in here. It's really hot in my apartment right now. Getting a new roommate. Mike Schvenderman, a person who I talked about on this podcast many times, and I think I told a story on Smack Me Bitch Up about this lunatic, but he is moving out, unfortunately. He has decided that he's done living in a room with no windows. Here's what I think, though, is, you know, he doesn't deserve a window. He doesn't deserve it. I don't know what part of him thinks he should be privy to sunlight during the day. But he's so entitled to think he deserves a window? Ugh. If you're listening to this, you're not in New York, you gotta understand. Sometimes you live in an apartment that has no windows. But so I thought it was gonna be hard to find a new roommate. I thought it was gonna be really difficult. I was worried I was gonna get stuck with this stupid other room, this second room in my apartment. I thought that's what was gonna happen to me. That I was going to end up, you know, eating the cost of two rooms. Because, of course, as usual, Jordan's the one who's undertaken all the risk in every fucking endeavor he sets out on, even though other people are there. Of course, I would be the one that would end up paying for the extra room and the one who would be liable for it. Because, you know, I would never want to commit to anything if I didn't have ultimate liability in it. But, yeah, I had like one guy came over and he was a friend of a friend. Seemed normal, seemed cool. Came over. I cleaned the whole apartment up too. Like I did, I cleaned the whole kitchen, spick and span, sweep the floors, mop the floors, vacuumed the carpets, put all the dishes away. That's where we actually go wrong, is we never put our dishes away currently, and nobody else ever even does their dishes, only me. And I cleaned the bathroom. I like how I'm acting like these things that I should be doing all the time are special. Listen, when you live with three other animals, these are the conditions that you have, okay? You have nobody else cleaning, nobody else putting anything away, and then the less anyone else does, really, it is broken windows. We're proof that the broken windows theory exists and works. Everyone sees it. Nobody else is cleaning, so everyone in the apartment's like, fuck it, why am I going to do it? But I had a guy coming to look at the new room, and I was like, God, I need to fill this room. So I did all that annoying-ass cleaning for a couple hours, which that's also what's sad about my apartment being so fucking disgusting, is that it doesn't take that much effort. It takes like 2 hours. It takes a couple of hours of work. Now, if everyone did it, it would take no time, and this place would look great. But it takes a couple hours of work, and it's done. That's it. I don't know why I'm like let myself live in squalor. My room has been so nasty. Granted, I haven't been here very much. I've been on tour like 3-4 days a week and flying to places for family shit constantly. So I guess I can't totally hate myself on that front. Which reminds me of a show concept I came up with called Why I Hate Myself. And it was going to be a show about, obviously, why you hate yourself. Maybe that would be a good podcast. What do you think? Fuck. I'm going to write that down. It's kind of genius, guys. It's not bad. Why I Hate Myself. Because hey, you may not know this, but I certainly don't like a lot of aspects of myself. loathe so many parts of myself. But we don't need to get into that. We've been getting into that for about 25 episodes now. Without my old former co-host, who... Dude, I looked at my former co-host's Twitter page. I'm not going to say his name. But he has his profile... First off, he blocked me on Instagram. Yo, if you block your friends on Instagram, that's some pussy shit, isn't it? That's so weak. How soft are you? And here's all he blocked me for. But I haven't seen him much. I feel I miss him. He's my friend. I like him. I know in the beginning I was like ragging on him, but I was just making fun of him. I was playing a character. I actually wasn't mad at him at all. It was totally amicable, at least on my end, but clearly not on his end. Because he put up a picture of him in a costume. It was a Mario outfit. And I messaged him, great costume. You have the exact same body type as Mario. Come on, kind of funny. Kind of funny. Also, not that harsh. And he goes, nice, and blocked me. He blocked me. That's a bitch move. That really is. For that light of a barb, dude, come on. Come on. You've put on about 15 pounds anyway. You do. You got the body of Mario. You're Italian. I don't know what to tell you. You're built like Mario, okay? Take the hit. Fire back at me. Make fun of me. Make fun of me for, you know, well, you're right. It's pretty tough to make fun of me. I'm pretty fucking dope. Block? You block me? For real? Come on, man. Be tougher than that. Has anyone else had this happen? You had a friend block you on Instagram? And you want to be like, really? I didn't know I had sex with your girlfriend. I didn't even steal anything. I didn't stiff you for money. It was a joke. A non-racist, non-homophobic, not even mean. Come on. Blocked? Jesus. But I went and looked at his Twitter profile, and this... I wish I had spotted this so long ago. But he put on his Twitter profile, it has like his podcast, which I think I'm going to be on it soon, I hope. Social Villains 2. Yo, some of you guys probably listen to it. Dude, I love Gene. Gene's hilarious. Mike's a good host. Mike hosts the shit out of that, but Gene is great. But Mike hosts it. But Gene's great. I go on, has like one of his two podcasts, has something about being a podcast producer, and then he has Agent of Chaos. Come the fuck on, bro. You can't refer to yourself as an agent of chaos. Even if you are an agent of chaos, you don't say it about yourself. You let other people say it about you. You can't declare yourself an agent of chaos. Doctor of Doom. Dude, so corny. Is agent of fucking chaos on his own profile. You don't cause any chaos, actually. You're not an agent of chaos. You're an agent of normalcy, man. You're an agent of order. You're a podcast producer. You work at Betches. You're not an agent of chaos if you work at Betches. Betches is the least agent of chaosy thing you could do, bro. It should just say guy. You're a guy. You are a guy. I wouldn't even call you a man. You're a guy. I'm not going to insult you and call you a boy. You're a guy. Agent of chaos, though? Come on! Yo, that's some incel shit. To call yourself an agent of chaos, that's a virgin never ever had sex move. That's like a 12-year-old Diablo 3 player calls himself an agent of chaos. That's like your name if you play Xbox Live, and even then it's like, yo, this fucking boner, kick him out of our game. What a boner move to call yourself an agent of chaos. You're a guy with a girlfriend and an apartment in Queens. You're not an agent of chaos. You can't call yourself stuff like that. You shouldn't. I am a doctor of disorder, agent of chaos, Mike. Your name's Mike. Most normal name ever. There's never been a Mike who's been an agent of chaos. What are you, Attila the Hun? Who are you? Agent of chaos, update your Twitter. Update your profile. I'd give you a pass if you set your Twitter at the age of 14. If you were 13 and you made your Twitter account, you called yourself an agent of chaos, and, you know, you shopped at Hot Topic, yeah, I'd call you an agent of chaos then. But that's not who you are, man. You're a guy with a job. You don't have a mortgage, but you have a lease. You know? You can't. This guy, I mean, I did a podcast with him. He couldn't even take the public transit system for several weeks because he was too scared. He got too much anxiety. That's not an agent of chaos. This is making sense, right? Someone, anyone, are you listening right now? I'm right on this, right? Yeah? Nod your head in agreement. Fucking tweet at me or Instagram. Let me know. Let me know, what are some other cringeworthy things some of your friends have referred to themselves as? Man, I mean, I'm like a human walking cringe. I'm just like running my mouth into this microphone alone for an hour. I mean, you guys could splice up things I've said and I'd be totally embarrassed, but at least I never called myself an agent of chaos. Agent of chaos. Fuck, man. That's so goddamn funny. That really, really is. Speaking of chaos, just had the election. Election went down. Yo, don't worry, guys. I ain't going to get too political on you. The rest of the world has that covered. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, I voted. You should. You know why I did? So I could say I did. But I realize now I could just say I did and not do it. I know that's what some of my friends did. Because they told me, they were like, I didn't vote. But when people ask you, if you say you didn't vote, they shame you. They shame you for it. And it's like, what if I didn't want to? What if I don't believe in the way the democratic process works? Right? What if I wanted to just do anything else? Because ultimately, I know we all act like our vote matters, but it doesn't. I don't know. I feel like your vote doesn't matter, because for whatever intelligent vote you have, there's 100 idiots voting. Because you know what? Smart people don't have kids. Smart people have way less kids than dumb people. That's the problem, is we're just getting outnumbered because smart people know not to have a ton of kids. Dumb people, there'll be like someone with like 9 kids, and you'll be like, could you use a condom? Would it fucking kill you to only do butt stuff? Could you just do butt stuff? Lord. But smart people are outnumbered, so your vote doesn't matter. It doesn't. When there's hundreds of thousands of votes in every district, it doesn't matter. And it's so hard to even know anything about local politics. I don't even know who to address any of my concerns to. Like, and if I were to even try, how to even go about getting the thing you want taken care of. I feel like the only way to do it is you have to kidnap the governor's daughter. That's the only thing you could do. It's the only way to get any change in this, you know, is if you did something drastic like that, held their ransom, or him. You could download this. You could, although I feel like if you took someone's son, they wouldn't care as much. I don't know. I just feel like they'd be like, he can fight his way out. But I did vote, and everyone's always annoying if you don't. And everyone's annoying even the day of. Everyone posting selfies themselves with their sticker. It really is just a way to, like, social signal to everyone around you that you're a good, moral, upstanding person. And you cannot vote and be exactly that. Conduct yourself in your day-to-day life in a positive way, and you don't have to go vote. You really don't. What I think is always funny is you ever have your friends pressure you and be like, dude, you got to go vote. You got to go vote. How do you know I'm going to vote the same way you do? How do you know what I have in my heart? I mean, that's what you see. Everyone seems to hate Ted Cruz. Dude won Texas. He won Texas, but I've never met a Ted Cruz fan. Weird. Maybe because it's made it socially unacceptable to be a Ted Cruz supporter. But it's weird as soon as someone gets with those curtains up how they vote. It's interesting. Maybe publicly shaming people for their political beliefs makes them harbor hidden political beliefs. I don't know. Just what I think. That said, last podcast, I did advocate for yelling in the face of politicians, and I still advocate for that, but I don't advocate for yelling in the face of your friends and family. But I did vote. I'm not even going to tell you guys how I voted. You don't need to know what my politics are. You don't need to know. That's one thing I find that I really do, I think is interesting, is that people never know my politics. They never know. What is Jordan? How does Jordan vote? They have no idea. They have no idea. Let me know. What do you think? How do you think I vote? What do you think I believe? Do I vote left? Do I vote right? Am I moderate? Am I libertarian? You have no idea. You got no idea. You have no clue. But here's what I think. There's no such thing as a wasted vote. Even a not used vote is a vote. Everything is a vote. There's no such thing as a wasted vote. I hate that. When people tell you you wasted your vote, I didn't. I used my vote by not voting. That was my vote. I voted, but I'm saying that that is a vote. Abstaining, even if it's because I'm too fucking lazy to go to the poll, is a vote. It is a vote. People be like, you don't get a bitch and complain if you don't vote. Yes, you do. You can bitch and complain all you want, even if you don't participate. That is one form of participation, is voting. Another form is bitching and complaining. There's no such thing as a wasted vote. I got in a little debate with my girlfriend earlier when she was telling me that I was saying, like, I'm all, like, if somebody, like, someone should vote third party. And she's like, well, like, saying, like, some of my friends are voting third party. But she's like, that's a wasted vote. That's so stupid. It's not stupid. It's not a wasted vote. Because voting the way you want is a vote. And that's what it's for. You can't waste a thing you used. Just because you don't. It's not only used if you use it on the people other people want you to vote on. That's not the only way it works. You don't have to, voting for the winner, you don't have to vote for the winner. You know, you don't have to vote only for the Republican or only the Democrat. You vote how you want to vote to signal that this is the movement I believe in, or these are my political beliefs. That's how you vote. So there's no such thing as a wasted vote. You don't have to vote for the top two. There's no such thing as a wasted vote. No such thing. It's like saying if you don't drink Coke or Pepsi and instead you drink Starkist, you're wasting your soda drinking. No, you're not. I don't know if that is a good metaphor. I was trying to riff something there. I think it landed flat. I'd say that was a 3 out of 10 on that one. But you understand my point. There's no such thing as a wasted vote. Everything you do is a vote. It all counts. So yeah, whether you voted or didn't vote, good job. You did it yesterday. You participated in the political process. Even if you didn't participate, that was participation. Because you made my vote worth more through your not voting. No such thing as a wasted vote. No such thing. You made your voice heard by not using your voice. Or using it to vote for some weird-ass party or a write-in candidate. Listen, you want to hear how I voted? I voted in Bush on every single... That was Brett's joke. I stole that joke. I just didn't... It's just full disclosure. I took that from my brother, Brett Rabold. He said that. It was a great joke. It's very funny. That's why I use it on my podcast. Shout out to Brett Rabold at Brett Rabold on Instagram and at Brett Rabold on Twitter. And check him out as part of the Rabold Brothers tour. The tour nobody wanted. I don't market my tour that way because that's a terrible name to call it. I call it the tour that nobody asked for. That's what I call it in my head. But yeah, that's a terrible name for a thing you're trying to sell and get people to attend. But it's a great name if you have anything of a following. I meant to talk about this like several weeks ago, but Megyn Kelly got ousted. Let's look it up what she said. Megyn Kelly. She got ousted for saying... What did she say? She said, oh, back in my day, I can't remember the exact quote, but something to the effect of, I remember back in my day, you'd be able to wear like blackface during Halloween. It's like, here's all I have to say is, if you are rich, white, attractive, and hosting what amounts to effectively an apolitical show, and someone starts talking about race, here's what you do. Shut the fuck up. You have a lot to lose. And I know people be like, that's when you need to stand up for what you believe in. Not if it's a thing you're not informed on, and if you're just going to put your foot in your mouth. Come on. Come on. Don't say it. Why even let that out? Why even let that? Here's the thing about also is that they just used that to get rid of her because the ratings were plummeting and she wasn't doing well. And now they're going to have Al Roker, who looks like a corpse. He has the pallor of a dead human. But why would you say that, Megan? Just don't. I guess, you know what? Let her out. It let her escape everything. She was doing a job she didn't want to do and it wasn't going well. Ratings were plummeting. She wasn't able to say any of the things she wanted to say, which, you know, I don't know if I agree with most of the things. Maybe it was a good way to muzzle her by shackling her to a Today show where she's trapped on this super cheery set when she wants to be a hard-hitting right-wing journalist. So it was a way to just get her to shut up. But yeah, they just used it to fire her. They just used that moment to fire her. What? Yeah, dude, if you're in that position, don't talk. Literally, don't talk. Or run it by someone off air. Someone who doesn't look like you. Run it by that person. Right? Why would you say that? Just don't. Don't talk race. Now she's getting, I heard somewhere she's getting like $40 or $50 million. Isn't that some bullshit? Is it like, if we get fired from our jobs, we don't get anything. But if she gets fired from her job, she gets like $40 or $50 million. If you get fired for something like that, you shouldn't get a severance package. I don't think you should. I think it should be null and void. Now there's always headlines, what's next for Megyn Kelly? Does it matter? She has a $40 million golden parachute. Does it matter? It does not. It doesn't. She's got $40 million. She can launch whatever she wants. But she won't do anything cool with her money. She won't. That's why I give it to that. Oh, man. Who is that? Former Fox News guy. Glenn Beck? Who was it? Glenn Beck? Yo, you got to give it to fucking Glenn Beck, though. Dude got fired from Fox News and managed to parlay that into his own network, The Blaze. I mean, I have watched none of it, nor would I ever watch anything from The Blaze, because I went to their website once, and they were selling, like, all their marketing on it was doomsday packages, and if you're a political station and you're marketing doomsday packages, then I know what you're about. You're just trying to make people feel really bad and really anxious with crazy-ass news. Into scaring him into buying these stupid buckets that just a bigger guy is going to steal from him when shit goes down. Some of these people want the apocalypse to come. They want it. They do. But at least Glenn Beck put some money where his mouth is and he launched his own network afterward. You got to give it to him. He tried. He really did try. He's authored 6 New York Times bestselling books. You think he's written those books? That's what you think about that. Think about that. Let's see. How many books has Bill O'Reilly read? Written. Read. Bill O'Reilly books. It's almost like my computer can hear me talk. Holy shit. 12 fucking books. Is that what it is? You think he wrote any of those? This is going to sound really dumb, but I did not know that ghostwriters existed for the longest time. So here I was beating myself up, loathing myself for my inability to write a book, or anything for that matter. My inability to do any of that stuff. And I'm like, God, Bill Clinton was president, and then he wrote a book. Hillary Clinton, fucking Secretary of State, she managed to find the time to write a book. Hell, even Montel Williams wrote a book. And I don't have a job. I tell jokes at night, and I can't write a book. God damn, I'm fucking weak. Then I realized ghostwriters exist, and I was like, oh, I see. If you have enough money, you can pay someone else to do it. You kind of just give them a rough outline of what you want to say, and they do the work. Oh. I don't think it's fair. It should say Bill O'Reilly with ghostwriter. I don't think it's fair to just put their name on these books. I don't think it's fair. I don't think he did any of the research. I bet you he hasn't even read some of them. I bet you some people don't even read the book they ghost wrote. I bet you they don't. If you want to know a book, here's one book, though. It's awesome. It's Andre Agassi's Open. That book is ghostwritten. And he makes it clear it's ghostwritten, which I fully appreciate. Because this sham that these famous people are managing to write and direct and produce whole movies, be a governor, a CEO, and then they're spending their free time writing a book? Come on. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. That book thing, that's the equivalent of all of these glossed up Instagram pictures where I'm like, why am I ugly? Oh, it's because I don't hire a professional photographer. I have my brother hold my stupid iPhone 5 and take a picture of me. That's why I look gross. Gee. It's all a lie, bro. It's all a lie. The only thing you can trust is this podcast. I really am saying these words. Everything else is a lie. This is really coming from me. There's no one else. I got no ghostwriters, clearly. I have to cut down on that deprecation, brah. I have to cut down on that shit. Sometimes you deprecation that some people don't get. It's just a joke. And they'll be like, no, don't say that about yourself. It hurts when you do that. Because you're making me think that you really think I'm a loser. I don't think I'm a fucking loser. But you going, no, don't say that, makes me believe you think I am. Now I want to fight you. Very bad in a fight. And I never will. If things keep going the way they're going, I'm too old for a fight. Who's going to get in a fight at the age of 31? What the fuck? What the fuck, you know? I did go home. I don't think I talked about this at all, but I did go home and I did 3 shows in Kansas City. I did 1 show in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I don't know, this is some spicy drama, but if I had to really rate how those shows went, I would say 2 of the Kansas City shows went well. One of them went okay. It was really difficult and was a lot of work and very challenging. And then I would say the Lincoln one went well. So I would say I was 3 for 4. I had to describe that. Granted, there were some other things going on that made one of the shows difficult, but we don't need to get into that right now, okay? So, 3 or 4 went well, and the Lincoln show went really well, though. Probably because I was unhappy with the way the last Kansas City show went. And usually, if I have a bad show, the show after that is very good, because I get pissed and motivated, and I'm like, you fucking bitch, you're gonna fucking fail like that. You might as well just go fucking work on Wall Street again and stop doing this fucking comedy shit and wasting your time. If you're not even gonna work hard at this, what the fuck is wrong with you? Sometimes when I work out, the thing I tell myself is that you are never good enough. That's what I do whenever I'm working out. I just tell myself I was never good enough. I'm just gonna leave that in there for you to do with that what you want. Does anyone else do stuff like that? When you're in the middle of working out, you ever say like really dark? What's the thing you think in your head when you're like out of breath and want to quit? What's that thing when you get to that moment? What's the thing you say? I always say you were never good enough. That's what I always say. And that's, I think, the thing that fuels me all the time. It's that feeling of never thinking I'm never good enough. It's never good enough for anything. I don't know where you get that from. Some people seem to not have those thoughts or those feelings. they seem to believe that they're good enough. Those people never are good enough. But they seem, and I look at them, I'm like, what makes you think you're good enough for anything? You're less than mediocre. If I'm telling myself I'm not good enough, what are you telling yourself, huh? But I went home, and the show in Lincoln went well, and then I went out. One of my uncles came, and this uncle is from Spain. He's not a relative by blood. He's a relative by marriage. And he, you know, the show went well. He was nice after the show. And we're driving to meet my other uncle. We're going to get dinner. This is in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I have family. And it's really nice of him to take me out for dinner. But we're waiting for my other uncle at the dinner, at the table, at the restaurant. And we're talking about the show. And he's asking, oh, what are your inspirations? Do you study comedy? It's almost like he's hinting I'm trash at this. And I'm like, I mean, I do it every day. I watch it every day. I write every day. I perform every day. I go on the road every fucking weekend. It's my full-time job. I get paid to do this. I have a podcast that a good amount of people listen to. It's like at this point, it's becoming a real career. It's no longer like, can you do this? It's at what level can you do it at? And what can you do to, you know, get to a place where you could be really happy with the career you've created? But he doesn't know that. Anyway, I mean, there's like 60 people at this Nebraska show for me. That's pretty fucking good. Anyway, he just goes like, oh, do you want me to tell you what I really think? By the way, anytime anyone goes, do you want me to tell you what I really think? You can't say no to it. You can't be like, I'm good. I don't really want to know what you really think. Even though I don't really care what you really think. That's the real fucking answer. I don't fucking care what you really think. Because I did the show. I know how the show went. I have it recorded on my phone. I had a camera in the back. And I could just fucking play it for you. And I'll tell you how the show went. So I don't need to know what your exact opinion is of the show. Anytime they say, do you want to know what I really think? It's never nice. No one's ever gone, do you want to know what I really think? Fantastic. That was a fantastic performance. Knocked it out of the park. Wow. I did not know you had that in you. That was incredible. What you've done over the past several years is amazing. No one's ever said that when they say, do you want to know what I really think? Anytime one goes, do you want to know what I really think? Then they insult you. See, and you have to let it happen because they've already broached that, hey, all right, I'm about to say things that you don't like. And I go, obviously, sure. You tell me what you really think. I think I kind of laughed when he said that. And he goes, your comedy is for white trash. Why would you say that to another person? Like, why would a blood relative say that? Even if you thought that I was high school talent showing it up there. Why the fuck would you say that to me? It's so hurtful. Isn't that so mean to say to another person? I thought your comedy was for white trash. And I didn't go into full confrontation mode. I was like, I mean, I don't know, Pepe. I don't think my comedy is for white trash. I mean, I think my comedy is for people. That's who it's for. It's for everyone. It's for every single... I try to do comedy that I think almost every background will enjoy. I don't think I'm a comedian that's so bland that, you know, I have no point of view or there's nothing more to me. But I certainly do believe that it's important to be able to do comedy in front of every type of person, no matter, you know, race, gender, sexuality, socioeconomic status. What he's saying is that, like, oh, your comedy's stupid. Hey, man, fuck off. Seriously. Fuck off. That is so hurtful to say to someone. You gotta also understand, man, I don't know if this is coming through, but like, you know, with my extended relatives, it's like kind of my close-knit, my my immediate family, everything's great, but like my extended relatives, like stuff's just weird. There's all sorts of weird competitiveness between my different branches of my family. It's just weird competitiveness and, you know, in just not the best, not the best situation, but I always try to get along well with everybody and remain positive. I don't always accomplish that, and I think I've been antisocial at some family events for a variety of reasons. Partially sometimes I just don't like talking to people I don't care to talk to, but because of shit like this. But yeah, he told me that he thought my comedy is for white trash, and what the fuck? You know what I mean? You don't need, like, people in your family also being rude to you about your dream. Maybe it's all good for you. Ultimately, it is a good thing to have people say, when you're pursuing any art form, that you suck. That's so important to it, because somebody telling you suck makes you reevaluate what you're doing, and then you can grow. Resistance is what helps smooth the rock. Resistance helps smooth the rock. If you never had any resistance, then the rock would never become shiny and smooth. It never would. So that's fine. And I'm not for everybody. I've told a story in this podcast that someone said, I hate this guy. Yeah, you know, that happens. And that's fine. It makes you evaluate what you're doing and be like, you know what? I'm going to continue doing what I do because that's what I do. Or be like, yeah, you know, maybe I could change some things. I've had some sets where I ate it and it made me reevaluate those jokes altogether and the direction that my comedy was going. I remember I had 10 really, really dirty minutes at one point. Really dirty. It was about like period blood and stuff. And I was like, I did it a couple times, it was doing well. And then I did it and I bombed really horribly one night. And I was like, fuck. I feel awful. Because I bombed telling like really dirty jokes. And they were getting laughs just because of their crassness or because they were about taboo topics. But they weren't doing well because they were well-written or clever. So maybe those jokes were for, quote, white trash. But that made me reevaluate and, you know, move in a different direction. But yeah, him saying your comedy's for white trash. And then here's how nice I am. I handle it very cordially and say, I don't think so. And then he proceeds to admit that, you know, he doesn't really watch a lot of comedy. You know, man, if you don't watch a lot of comedy, I mean, that's the thing that's so great about comedy is that you don't have to be steeped in it to understand it. It's, if it hits you, it hits you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, he's like a 65-year-old guy from Spain who's fucking weird. So, you know, is my comedy going to be for that? Probably, you know, probably not. And that's fine. I don't want to be for everybody. I'm not for everybody. And I don't want to be for everybody. Because if you're everybody, then you're for nobody. Nobody loves you then. But even then, have the emotional intelligence to know that you shouldn't say that. And even after a good show, and here's how I know it was a good show, I got good reviews after the show from people that didn't know me. So I can't believe the person who was meanest to me is the person who was closest to me at the show. But I was cordial after he said that, and I was like, I don't think so. You know, honestly, I did 25 minutes that's, like, pretty clean up there. That's a lot of storytelling, unique storytelling, and just observational comedy that has nothing to do. And then I know I closed on about 15 minutes of sex jokes, and maybe that's what you're bristling at, but no, I don't think my comedy's for white trash. It's not. It's certainly not. So, whatever. And then he tells, like, and here's what's funny. He's like, you know, I kind of pivot him, like, well, what comedy do you like? And he tells me about, like, oh, I don't really watch it. I was like, do you watch SNL? Like, I'm bringing up a few comedians on SNL. He doesn't even know anyone on SNL. It's like, if you don't fucking know anyone on SNL, then you don't even know any comedians. Like, you're not going to know who, I don't think he even knew who Louis C.K. was or Bill Burr. Like, if you don't even know that, what the fuck, dude? That means you're just not even watching any form of comedy. And he goes, oh, I don't really watch TV. I mean, this is a guy, whatever. He watches TV too. Everyone that acts like they don't watch TV, you watch TV. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, he then says, one thing I watched was, I watched a sketch. It was a sketch, and it was really, really funny. It had this guy, he had a big meeting. It was an international meeting with a bunch of different countries. And then he was like, oh, no, our translator isn't here. And then one of his coworkers goes, oh, I could translate. And there were people from China, people from Italy, people from Sweden. And so then the guy would say a thing, and then the translator would translate for the people in the crowd. So he went up to the Swedish guy and was like, smorgy, borgy, dorgy, dorgy. And then he went up to the German guy who was like, she's Eisen, she's Eisen, Eisen, Eisen. And then he went up to the Chinese guy and goes, ching, ching, tong, ping, hong. And I was like, Pepe, that's just racism. He goes, it's just racism, man. That's not comedy. That's just being racist in someone's face. And this is, I think there's a lot of Europeans that are this way, but he's like, no, in Europe, we can laugh at our differences. Yeah, man, we can do that here. We do that here in America, too. We're just not as racist as you are. I'm so sick of this, like, narrative that America is, like, the worst place in the world that I think so many people are. Yeah. Is our president a hot pile of shit? Absolutely. But, you know, on the day-to-day, we're okay. We're doing okay. I walk around New York, and everyone lives in harmony. This is probably, I don't know the numbers on it, but this has got to be the most diverse city in the United States. Possibly the world. And we all coexist in harmony here. We really do. At least now. I don't know about the 80s, but now you walk around, it's fucking safe in New York City. Everyone gets along. I don't see a lot of racist stuff going down. I think, actually, if someone, you've seen clips online of someone being racist on a subway, they get fucking thrown off the subway by people. So this narrative that the U.S. is like the worst, most racist place on earth. Well, first off, we're one of the only fucking places with other races. Because people want to come here. That's why. If there's any of that friction, it's because people actually want to be here. And I know that we have problems. No doubt. So, like, that stuff with Mexico is disgusting. It's disgusting. With the families and the kids, disgusting. But, like, here's how dumb, Europeans are as dumb as we are. Here's how fucking dumb Europeans are and racist. North Italians are racist against Southern Italians. You're all fucking hairy, okay? You're all dumb Italians to us. So yeah, you're way worse than we are. Look at France and their complete inability to integrate Muslims into their culture and country. Unless they're playing for your goddamn fucking national team. So you know what, Pepe? Fuck you. Fuck Europe. Y'all are worse than us. You really are. Must be nice. It's real easy when you have... What are you talking... Spain? Spain's stupid fucking regions are racist against each other. We laugh at our differences. No, you don't. You throw bananas at black players during soccer games and make monkey noises. That's Europe. Suck my dick, dude. My comedy's for white trash? First off, just because white people can be poor, you don't need to judge them just because they're not as well off as you are. That kind of judgment, that's shit. Because they don't have the same opportunities you do. You're from Madrid. He's from Madrid. He's from a rich family in Madrid. He was able to go to law school and come to America. You're fucking privileged. Asshole. Yeah, so some people came to my show who were, I don't know, not in suits. Probably not white collar workers. Doesn't mean they don't deserve a great time. Doesn't make them dumb either. He just judged them because they were regular people some rural people from Nebraska. My comedy's for white trash. You know what? Fuck it. If you're white trash, come to my fucking show. My uncle sucks. Really does. I told my mom this. And honestly, I didn't even want any... I really just don't... I know with you, this might shock you, but I really don't love drama. I really don't. I really don't love text fights. I don't love arguments with people. Even in day-to-day, honestly, I do things I don't like doing, like, say, clean my whole apartment, because I just... I don't like asking people to do stuff, because I don't like the hate. Why do you think I self-produce a whole store? A whole tour? Why do you think I create my own sketches with my brother? Why do you think I have my own podcast? It's because I don't like arguing with people. And I have to do it, it feels like, so often. But I tell my mom what Pepe said, just thinking like, hey, you remember, you know, Pepe, my stupid uncle? Well, he was stupid again. And it's like, she then shoots him a text message. I'm not going to tell you the content of it. So, some effect of, keep your opinions about my son's comedy out of your mouth, because we keep our opinions about your son out of ours. And you don't need to know what that means, because I don't want to get into the details of my family drama all out, but god damn, that was rough. And then my mom blocked him, because my mom is like a 16-year-old girl with an iPhone now. Man, the way she carries herself with her phone is like a teenager. Good lord. She's always, like, on Instagram. Like, you guys didn't like my stuff yet. You gotta like my stuff. But so she blocked him, which, like, criticized earlier in the podcast. But to be fair, he was a piece of shit to me, so I understand the blocking. And she has nothing to say to him. So he gets that text, and he sends me an apology letter about something he said. You know what, man? I accepted his apology. And I'll forgive him. But, yeah, don't come to my shows. I don't want you there. I don't. I want to... That's another thing. If you... For comedians, if you don't want to be at the show, don't be there. There's so many times, like... I don't know what it is about stand-up comedy. But people are just, like, angry at stand-up comedy. And often, I want to make this clear, like 90%, 95% of people that come to shows are super fun, and they're great. And 9 out of 10 shows is really goes well. But it's sometimes you're up there and you're like, why are you here? Because I'm doing my best and I want to be here. But what the fuck are you guys doing? Leave. Get out. Good lord. Right? Like, come on. I don't need this right now. I don't need you hating on me right now. I don't need you being no fun, ask you questions you won't answer. Fuck that. You know? Doing like 6-minute bits to silence? Just leave then. I know why people are so angry at comedy shows, but they show up and they're just miserable. Go. Seriously, get out. If you don't want to be at a show, here's another thing. You don't need to finish shows. We all act like you got to finish shows. You don't have to finish shows. Even if you paid for the ticket, fuck. Straight up, if somebody messaged me and was like, hey, that show was bad, can I get a refund? I would give them a refund. If the difference between them hating me and not hating me was $10, I don't give a fuck. Here's $10. Don't hate me. Right? They always forget also the amount of money you pay for a thing. You pay more, you should expect more. That's totally fair. Sometimes these people paying $5-$10 to come to this show and they're expecting a $90 show. Look, motherfucker, it's a show at a brewery for 40 people. We're crushing for that. What did you think this shit was? God damn. I get the expecting a lot is, you know, I understand that. It's your time. It's your life. But also, be fun. Be fun. I feel like that's as good a time as any. You know what, everyone? Thank you so much for listening to this thing. It really means a lot. to me. It's starting to grow. We've got a couple thousand people listening right now, and that's amazing. I really, really do appreciate those of you who have told your friends about this podcast and helped me expand it and make it into a bigger and bigger, bigger thing than it is. Go on there, write a review, and check out Jordan Rabold on... Mostly I put my tour dates on, like, honestly, it's on Facebook. That's where I put most of them. I post on Instagram where I'm going to be in that city that day, like that weekend, because I'm so sick of, like, managing all of this social media and stuff. Do you know how much shit I do? I have a podcast. I produce, edit, produce, and write and act in sketches with my brother. And I have a fucking fully functioning tour every weekend. Do you know how much work that is? That's why, I mean, some comedians are like, there's a big component of comedy about hanging out. And it's like, hey, Jordan, how come you never come and hang out at a comedy club? Well, fuck. I'm working more than you. So that's why I don't go hang out, okay? Jesus. All right. Yo, thank you so much. Have a great day. Have a great week. And have a great life. I love you. Bye.